Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast, chopping up the lemons of conversation, putting them in the water of the internet, adding the sugar of humor, mashing it all together. You got yourself fresh podcast lemonade.
When life gives you lemons, listen to Off Menu.
Oh,
that's Ed Gamble. My name is James Acaster. We own a dream restaurant, and every single week we invite in a guest, and we ask them their favorite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish, and drink, not in that order. And this week, our guest is...
Graham Coxon. Graham Coxon, of course, James.
Man.
Blur.
This is big.
Big.
This is
times.
Big stuff. This is exciting stuff. I'm going to try and keep it together and play it cool.
Mm. Whenever you say that before a guest comes in, you never do.
Mm. Yes, it's hard to play it cool when your job is to ask some questions.
Yeah, because you don't want them to come in and then you're like, all right.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be nice and welcoming.
Yeah.
And then you've also got to ask some questions in the interviews, and you just end up asking questions that show how much you know about their stuff.
Yes, because you like playing stuff. It cool, unfortunately, is going to be still a sparkling water. Oh, blur.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. I mean, this is a big band for me, man. This is like from when I was a itty bitty baby up until now.
They're your spine shank.
They're my spine shank, yeah. I mean, if I may make such a lofty comparison.
Yes.
And also, Blur have a new album out at the minute, The Ballad of Darren.
The Ballad of Darren is out now, and you can go and watch the video for St. Charles Square as well.
Yeah, so get the new album, watch the new music videos, and actually, you know, mate, we've got some young listeners to this podcast. Maybe they've not gone back and done the whole Blur back catalogue, and I highly recommend they do.
Yes, and listen to the Spine Shank cover of Whilst My Guitar Gently Weeps.
What the fuck? Okay. Yeah, do that. Listen to Spine Shank cover the Beatles. Holy fuck, didn't know that had happened.
No, look, I love Blur. Very excited to talk to Graham. Hoping, though, he doesn't pick a secret ingredient, though, James.
Yes.
Because, look, while there may be a new Blur album out, we don't want Graham to be out of the dream restaurant.
No, we do not. Every week we have a secret ingredient, an ingredient which we deem to be unacceptable. And we will kick the guest out if they say it. And this week, the secret ingredient is...
Beaujolais. You pick this one, James.
I pick this one. Sometimes we pick secret ingredients that are relevant to the guest. And Beaujolais is the secret ingredient because in Charmless Man by Blur, the Charmless Man knows his claret from his Beaujolais.
So you've gone with Beaujolais rather than claret?
Yeah, just because it's more fun to say.
Yes, absolutely. There might be a chance that he picks it.
Yeah, and you know... Then we get to see what it's like when we kick someone out that we don't know very well.
Yeah.
At all, actually. We don't know him.
Be interesting.
Yeah, we kicked out Jade Adams, but we knew that'd be a laugh. We don't know what it'd be like to kick out. I imagine he'll shrug his shoulders and go, all right.
Yeah, I think you'll be happy to knock off a bit early.
Yeah, see you later, guys.
So this is the off-menu menu, the menu of Graham Coxon.
Graham Coxon.
Welcome, Graham, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Welcome, Graham Coxon, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Have you? Yeah, why?
Oh, for so many reasons.
Because I'm always in dream places.
You are. What are your favourite dream places to be in?
They're not my favourite dream places to be in, but they're dream places that I find myself in most nights if I sleep with my arm in a bit funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's in rundown sort of Dickensian sort of towns that are very menacing, trying to find my way home or trying to find somebody I'm looking for.
So that's one of your main dreams that you
that's
have?
That's how I have it most nights.
Yeah.
And who are the people that you're looking for?
Maybe my partner, things like that. It's sort of anxiety-driven dreams. And quite often there's menacing characters about and stuff like that. No food is involved, but there seems to always be a bit of a way to get home and things getting in your way. Well, so what does that mean?
I guess you're worried about finding your way home, I guess. Maybe you feel like you've drifted from who you, your authentic self, who you once were.
Oh, do you think?
You're trying to find your way back to the real you.
I'd love to do that.
But why is it Dickensian, though? That's the tricky thing.
It's sort of menacing and run down.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And it's almost like how when you were waiting for a night bus in the early 90s, it had that sort of feeling about it. Because that was pretty Dickensian now looking back.
Worried if it's going to show up or not?
Yeah, and what the clientele are going to be like. Mm.
Yeah.
Clientele?
I'd say clientele.
Like,
someone said clientele.
It's one of them, an American way to say it.
Yeah, I bet maybe clientele.
Yeah, you don't know whether you're going to get hassled and stuff like that.
Yeah, in Dickensian times.
Bill Sykes and stuff.
Oh, he'd be the worst.
He'd be the, what, to be on a night bus?
I'd hate it.
If Bill Sykes was on my night bus, I think I'd get an Uber.
Yeah, yeah, I'd be straight off. Would you stay on the night bus if Bill Sykes was on there, Graham?
No.
No.
Especially if I had Bullseye with him.
Imagine if he's got Bullseye with him. Like, Bullseye's horrible.
No, but he's all right, Bullseye, in the end. He turns on him, doesn't he?
He gives him away.
Yeah, that's true. I guess now, actually, if you're on a night bus and Bill Sykes gone and Bullseye was on, they probably wouldn't be together.
No.
It'd be quite awkward that they've bumped into each other again. And he'd be like, oh, fucking Bullseye's on.
Whereas if Fagan was on my night bus, I think that'd be a laugh.
Fagan's always like almost like the most sort of worst, isn't he?
You wouldn't trust him.
Do you think? I like Fagan.
He's a stealth, nasty piece of work.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know where you are with Bill Sykes.
Yeah, I suppose so. He's less subtle, isn't he?
Nah.
Yeah. Fagan's tricksy.
You know, and these people don't just look like Oliver Reed. You know, the real ones, they were far worse, I reckon.
The ones that these
characters were based on.
Well, I was in a production of Oliver when I was at school and my teachers all played the adult roles. It's weird, isn't it?
Oh, that is weird.
Yeah, I was in an Amdram type affair that was a bit like that too.
Of Oliver?
Yeah.
Who did you play, Graham?
I was a policeman, not a very big part.
Did you arrest Oliver?
No, I sort of had to, I don't know, just react and point and hold me hat and run off stage sort of thing. That's what they did a lot.
Bill Sykes in the production of Oliver I was in was played by Mr. Hassan, the rowing coach.
Really?
Yes. He was also a geography teacher.
Did he have a cosh?
Yeah, he had a cosh. He's very bad at acting, I would say. Yeah, I don't know why they didn't let kids play the adult roles.
Weird for the adults to decide to do it.
Headmaster was Fagin.
They always want to get in on it, don't they?
Yeah.
Ruin it.
Headmaster was Fagin. Do you think that your experience playing the police officer, is there any of that performance retained on the new Blur album, The Ballad of Darren?
It's one of the worst links you've ever done.
Well,
what? That's good. That's a good link.
I do police the Sonics.
Yeah.
A little bit. I suppose I wander up and down and, swing me truncheon like a propeller.
Yeah.
A little bit up and down the studio and make sure everything's okay. Couldn't that snare drum sound be better, sir?
Yeah.
And things like that. But not really, apart from that.
No other comparisons to you playing a policeman in Oliver?
No. I did more. I mean, that wasn't my best I did more stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. We were in a lot of school productions, and with Damon as well. We were both in, you know, Guys and Dolls, Orpheus in the Underworld, The Bartered Bride, Oh, What a Lovely War, and so on and so on.
Snap.
Were you and Damon ever like a double act in those plays?
No, not at all. He was less shy. He was a bit more extroverted. He was really, you know, he was really into it.
Yeah.
And I go into it in my book. And then the first time I saw him school assembly, that he was doing Officer Krupke.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, the gall of this bloke. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, he was sort of not very old, and just doing this thing like a professional, especially compared to everybody else on stage in that school assembly, who was sort of like, you know, looking really awkward and half asleep. He was like pizzazz. So he would always get proper parts. Like, he would be playing Zeus, or, you know, this or that or the other. And I would have multiple parts, or just a sort of a lower thingamajigged part, and sort of lower prestige.
Do you think you're still like making this new album and like playing together now? Is there still that thing where you can surprise each other like that? Or are you pretty much like, you know what each other's going to do now? Or do you still have that thing sometimes going, oh, they just pulled that out? Or
no, we don't really know what each other are going to do. And we do get surprised, but we don't let it show. We've been surprised or impressed. We never let that show, because that would mean we'd sort of stop trying to push, I suppose. But we always know that there's going to be hilarity and a lot of daftness, but that, you know, when it comes to the music side of it, that we're pretty serious about doing that. You've got to have some stupid laughs, otherwise it becomes too intense.
No. Were you just leaving it to be intense?
It would be really funny to just leave it. I'd not say anything funny off the back of that. I'd just be like, leave it being as tense as possible. Also, I mean, as well as a hilarious podcast, this is a food podcast, and we should ask Graham if he's a foodie. Are you a food fan? You're enjoying some flapjacks this morning?
Yeah, I don't know whether that makes me a food fan. I'm a sort of gobble something up, and then I'll be powering along for the next 2 or 3 hours until something else. I have a sugar crash or something like that. I do like food, but I'm not one of these mega-dega foodies. And I get sickened when people photograph food. Yeah, I'm like, shove it. I'm not interested.
Yeah, I do that. I'm a mega-dega foodie.
Are you?
Yeah. Really?
He's a mega digger foodie, and he takes a lot of photos of his food.
Yeah, I won't do much with them, but so I'll just scroll through my phone and.
Did you like look what I just rustled up? Or is it something else?
It's very rarely things I've rustled up.
All right,
but yeah, sometimes
you take photos of stuff you've rustled up.
I take photos of stuff, but it's very rarely aesthetically pleasing, the stuff I've rustled up. So I would never show them to anyone else or put them online.
Well, I have taken pictures of things I've cooked, and I do like cooking, and I do like nice food, but it's not like the most important thing to me. What happens between the feeding times, are sort of more important to me, really.
That's probably the healthiest way of being, whereas I spend my time in between the meals thinking about the next feeding time.
Yeah.
You're eating your breakfast thinking about lunch.
Absolutely.
You're eating your lunch thinking about, you know, dinner, and then you're eating your dinner thinking about, what can I have later that's going to be really naughty while I watch Gogglebox or something.
And then I realise I've achieved nothing.
I'm a little bit like that. I do like dinner time, but I like it because of the social occasion.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really social because it's at the house, but it feels like a social occasion. We get round a table.
Mm-hmm.
We don't eat in front of the telly.
Yeah.
Usually the news is burbling away, but I like to be at a table for that.
Yeah. And I think that's important.
I find that an enjoyable time. So thank God that day's over. And now I'm just going to collapse in front of the telly in a couple of hours, and that would be great.
But that's not necessarily about what's on the table. It's almost not important what's on the table, as long as you get that social occasion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know when you're in restaurants and I know you're meant to sit around a table, but everyone talks about food, the food in restaurants when they're eating it. They're not talking about anything else, hardly. They're talking about the food they're eating.
Yeah.
It's like, God, come on.
Well, Graham, if you don't enjoy that aspect of eating, you've come on the wrong podcast.
Well, actually, this is great because you're going to be talking about food that you're not currently eating.
So,
we've really thought of all the angles.
I'm hankering after every item.
Yeah, you're going to be hankering big time.
Yeah, but I'm actually lucky. You know, my partner is actually a really great cook.
Oh, great.
and loves cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really get a look in that often. So that's pretty,
yeah,
that's pretty nice. I'm lucky in that way. I mean, I do hold my, you know, I do everything else.
Yeah.
In the house.
What other things do you do?
Oh, no, that's not true. What do I do? I do everything I can just to make life happier mm-hmm. for everybody who comes into contact with me. And
does your partner have a speciality that you really look forward to? Unless it's on your menu, don't reveal it in advance.
She might kill me. No, it's not on.
Yeah,
there's some really good halloumi business.
Halloumi business.
Yeah, there's some good halloumi business. There's a good kofta every night as well.
Oh, nice. Ooh. So sort of like Eastern Turkish cooking.
Yeah. What else? I'm a bit nervous because I'm sure she'll really appreciate me. She's
We should listen to this and then be annoyed you've given away her secret recipes.
Maybe.
Yes.
Position now is going to lead to more anxiety dreams, don't you? You're going to go to sleep and it's going to be
my arm.
Bill Sykes being like, tell me the recipes.
Yeah.
Tell me,
what's the halloumi business?
What does your partner cook? get in bullseye. We're going to find out what the kofta, what's in the kofta.
Lamb.
Yeah.
That'll be lamb. Kofta. It's not kofta. It's just more of a sort of, I mean, are they sort of an extended, they're a sort of a meatball.
Yeah, like sauce.
Squashed out over a stick. It's not quite
lovely.
Like that. But anyway, I can't talk about food that I like that's not on my menu, can I?
Oh, you can.
I do like pasta and things. I try to eat very healthily.
Mm-hmm.
And recently I was in Denmark and that was the best things I'd eaten for a good while. You know, white asparagus and little prawns swimming in some sort of mayonnaise-y type stuff and some marinated herring on some rye bread or rude bread.
Yeah.
And, a bit of onion and things like that. And, I like that. I like that sort of thing.
So more, like the Scandi way of cooking, quite clean. It feels healthy, but it's also delicious and flavoursome.
Yeah, it's good. You know, it has a bit of that dill.
Mm.
Has a bit of that going on. Because the only other part of me, apart from Midlands,
mm-hmm.
England, is a bit of Norwegian. So there's probably, might not have anything to do with why I like that food, but it might have a little bit to do with it.
I'm Midlands, but I don't know if I'm Norwegian.
Where Midlands are you from?
Kettering in Northamptonshire?
Northamptonshire. Check the shoes out.
Yeah, cobblers.
Vans is based in Kettering, right?
Yeah. The original Vans.
You've got American. I think these are French, my shit footwear. That's flash.
I've got New Balance on.
New Balance.
Because even though I don't have kids, I've turned into a dad in the last year.
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah, just Trump dad photo. Vibes.
The dad sort of fit hat.
Yeah, absolutely. Got the hat. Trousers,
and it's
New Balance.
An extremely distracting T-shirt you're wearing.
I saw you looking at that.
Got writing on your hat that is difficult to make out, and I'm finding myself having to stare at it.
Yes. Well, every now and again, I've noticed you glance at Ed.
Yes.
And you don't look happy each time.
I'm glad to hear it's about the T-shirt, though.
Yeah, that's
rather
good.
Than my general vibe. This is a wrestling T-shirt. I'll explain everything I'm wearing.
Rhea Ripley.
She's a fantastic wrestler. And it says, she's my mammy on there, because that's what Dominic Mysterio calls her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hat is, it's a band called Heriot, yes. They're a new British metal band.
Are they? Called Heriot?
Heriot, yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to say anything about that.
No?
Well, there's obvious things you could say, but, you know, it's... I am an old All Creatures Great and Small fan, you see, from way back, the original TV series.
The Christian vet. He was a Christian vet.
He was a Christian vet.
Yeah, he was a vet, and he loved God and Jesus.
Right.
I suppose he did.
He did.
Well, that
is this a satanic vet, Heriot?
Yeah. As far as I know, the band Heriot are not named after James Heriot, and...
Well, they're missing an R.
See them live, you don't get Christian vibes, I'll say that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
What sort of vibes do you get?
Sort of just very extreme metal vibes.
Great, I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, they're very, very good.
Yeah.
Do you like metal?
I'd sort of appreciate, yonks and yonks ago, I got into sort of things like the Helicopters and Entombed and bands like this that were...
More Scandinavian
mainly sort
stuff.
Of Swedish. It was like quite heavy rock, really, or quite trad, like greasy rock and roll sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I quite like listening to that stuff for a bit. And I went to see Entombed a couple of times, and they were great chaps.
Yeah. They're brilliant.
They were having a great laugh.
Yeah.
And they sounded heavy as hell then at that point. But then yeah. I don't go and see bands like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go to many gigs?
Not really.
I like your cadence and way of talking. We don't know where the sentence is going to end. And it will just end out of nowhere. And then we're like, oh, yeah, it's not
like
it.
You're keeping us on our toes,
Graham. Is that off-putting?
No, not at all. We love it.
It's good
stuff. I like to see gigs, but I'm a bit, you know, my hearing has been knocked about a little bit mm-hmm. recently. And so I'm not sure whether it's that great for me to see too many gigs.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I'm in a noisy situation quite more often than not, though, which is the problem. But I do have hearing aids and things like that,
yeah.
which I'm not wearing today because I thought this would be all right.
Yeah, we're okay.
Yeah, you don't need to.
Unless we get the Harrier on, yeah. It should be fine.
We always start with still or sparkling water?
Still.
Yeah?
Straight away.
Absolutely.
Not a sparkling fan?
Sparkling, I've always thought, was for caners, I think. It is, isn't it? Let's face it.
Caners.
Why is it for caners?
Well, they need really something to cut through all the night before. You know, they need some fizz to bring them back to life. I've always thought that was... Everybody I know... I mean, not everybody, I'm being unfair, but whenever people are order sparkling water when they go to a restaurant, I look at them and go, oh, yeah. And I think...
And they've been caning it.
They've been caning it. So I like to have it, you know, as close to, like, sauce as I'll be up there sucking on a hillside, you know, if I could.
Well, yeah. we can. I mean, it's the dream restaurant.
If you want to suck on a hillside at the start of this meal, we can do that for you because I'm a genie. I've got powers. So yeah. If you want to be sucking on a Scandinavian hillside, maybe,
or maybe even where in Ashbourne somewhere, that'd be all right. Is that near Kettering?
No, I don't think so.
I think that's further north than Kettering.
Where are you from in the Midlands?
I'm from Darbsbondon. Derby originally.
Oh, yeah. My sister lived in Derby for a bit, so I go there quite a bit, visit. Yeah. I've already spoke about everything about that on the podcast before. The man called Boston who would sit on the wall.
Yes.
Humpty Dumpty, you mean Humpty Dumpty?
Sorry, yes. Humpty Dumpty.
You got mixed up again.
I meant Humpty Dumpty.
You're always doing that.
yeah. So you'd like to suck on a hillside?
Yeah. In the dark peaks.
In the dark, you'd be in the dark peaks, sucking on a hillside.
You'd suck on the dark peaks.
Do you want a straw to suck on the hillside, or do you want to just a lips to the hillside?
I just like the lips straight on.
Yeah,
it's a bit constricting the straw.
Yeah,
I'd like to get the full pressure, full water pressure, full in the fizzog.
I think if anything made me suspect someone was a caner, it would be someone sucking off a hillside.
Yeah, not sucking off.
Come on,
he's not sucking it off,
but no. Sucking the water off the hillside.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure. I guess so.
Sucking off a hillside. Come on, man. It's sucking the hillside.
Sucking on the hillside.
Letting one's lips yield to the pressure of water as it springs forth.
Yes,
I think that's all right.
Would you want anyone with you at this meal? Do you want anyone to join you?
Oh, I didn't know that was part of the deal, that I could choose people.
Would your dream to be to dine alone, though? Because if it is, then do that.
Whenever I've dined alone, I have...
Oh, no. That's a glimpse into those anxiety dreams again.
It's been slightly... It's kind of embarrassing and you feel like a bit of a saddo, and I tend to eat very, very quickly and get out of there. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably sitting there eating fast and asking for whatever I need and then hardly finishing and then asking, can I pay? Can I get out of here? And then leaving really quick. So they probably feel they've dealt with some extremely neurotic person. Or at other times, I feel remarkably suave when I'm on my own. But it really just depends on the general feeling and how the neurosis is doing.
Depends on the restaurant a bit as well, maybe. Yeah.
I don't like all posh.
No.
Tasting menus and things like that, that's all a bit odd.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like being mollycoddled and treated like a toddler or a baby in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And people point with their little finger at bits of what's on a plate and tell you what it is.
I've never thought of that as being treated like a baby, but it makes absolute sense when you put it like that.
Mm.
It's like, just put it, just let me eat it.
Although, I've never thought about the pointing with the little finger as well.
Yeah.
And actually, I think if they came along and they pointed with their normal pointing finger at my food, I think I'd be like, get the hell out of here. I feel that would offend me more.
Yeah.
Pointing with a little finger does feel cleaner and less rude.
Less aggressive.
Whereas if they were pointing with the actual finger, I'd be like...
Well, yeah.
It's accusational, isn't it?
Some gnarled... It's just the pretense of it. The pretense... I don't mean pretentious. It's pretensive. What's the word?
Well,
pretensive. Depends which one you're looking for.
I haven't heard the full sentence.
It's the fakery
of
it.
Yeah.
You know, this bloke is doing this and he's describing what that's called and this is a little bit of foam to go with it and that's the sort of drink that you should have with it. And it's a bit like, I just don't take it. I can't take it seriously. It's really absurd.
Yeah.
And I think people should just be how they are.
Mm. What if that is how they are, the waiters and stuff and the people at the restaurant?
That's fine.
But you can tell, you can see through it.
Yeah.
You can see through it, can't you?
Yeah. Would you ever say that to
many
them?
Of those things, thankfully.
Would you ever be brave enough to say to a waiter like halfway through, I see through all this?
No, I wouldn't be.
No.
That's the sort of thing that people I'm close to, and possibly people in the band I play in, would at certain times not have any qualms about just... Are we allowed to swear on
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, right, okay.
Tell the people to fuck off.
Just put it fucking down and fuck off.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. And
sometimes when Alex is talking about his cheeses, do you go, I see right through you.
I see right through you, Alex.
Yeah.
And I see a load of cheese in there.
It's good cheese.
Yeah, you like his cheese, don't you?
Yeah, good
cheese. I've eaten it.
Yeah?
I've eaten it at Christmas. We usually get I think Alex was complaining recently that he sends out Christmas parcels of cheese to everyone and gets nothing back every year. But the thing is, you know...
He makes the cheese, friendship. Though, right? It's not like he's getting friendship. A different gift every time, right?
He gets to be in Blur for an extra year.
He should never take that for granted.
Yeah, that's your present.
But his cheese is nice and he expands. I'm waiting for the cheddar.
Yeah.
But the old Blue Monday, that's quite
Yeah,
nice.
It's great.
Yeah. So you think you should carry on with the cheeses?
Definitely, yeah. I never get through my quotient of cheese, my Christmas quotient, ever. It's just too much.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably have the amount for Christmas and New Year's that he might have in one night, and it's still too much. You know, he is a maniac when it comes to the cheese. I bet he has sparkling water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just he's cheese caning.
He's caning on the cheese, yeah.
So much cheese. Have you seen him just, like, devour a load of cheese in front of you, and can you not believe it?
I have. I sort of can because I'm sort of used to it now. But if it was the first time, I would be quite shocked, possibly.
Yeah.
No, not really. I mean, I mustn't, you know. Ours is a lovely man. I love Alex. But I did see him once eat a massive amount of that Blue Monday.
Yeah.
Well, it was a Christmas amount, let's say, on a bit of cracker, which you're allowed to have a bit more than your auntie or something. But he went slap and then squirted a load of honey on it as well. And then you've got to try it like this. I was like, yeah, go on then.
Yeah.
But I thought, blimey, I couldn't do that again for another year. Not for another year.
The cheese and the honey.
That was much.
Yeah.
It was much.
Poppadoms or bread? Poppadoms or bread, Graham Coxon? Poppadoms or bread?
Poppadoms or bread?
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to have bread. Is this mine?
Yeah.
Water. Still.
Yeah, still water there.
There you are. Not exactly coming out of the side of a hill, but...
Yeah.
Poppadoms. Or big crisps.
Yeah, big crisps.
You know what a poppadom is,
Graham. If I was at a...
I see through you.
Poppadom, what is such? I would go for a poppadom, of course, if I was in a certain type of restaurant.
Mm.
But on this occasion, I'd have to go... With a little bit of bread, but not much, because I've got to look ahead, and there might not be much need for bread, and bread might actually come with the starter. You never know.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, I would like to have bread. I'm full on butter. Usually a pinch of some decent salt upon the butter as well.
Nice.
Yeah,
used to be one of my favourite pastimes on aeroplanes was to just have as much wine as I could possibly fit onto my sort of tray that came down from the seat in front and just have loads of bread and butter and salt.
And that was it? You wouldn't have the rest of the meal?
Yeah. It'd be like a sort of a little Abigail's party all to myself.
That's quite Dickensian in a way, like just wine and bread and butter. So
that's why the dreams are happening.
Yeah.
Singing Umpapa all the time, you know, instead of being thrown off the flight, yeah.
So would you like that for your dream meal? Would you like, you're on the hillside for the water, but you want to be on a plane for the bread course with the tray down and you've got all your bread and butter Flicking and salt.
Egg. Yeah, I think that would be quite nice, but not the wine now. It'd have to be the remnants of the still water.
Maybe the plane's just literally flown over the hill and you've been able to...
A cod piece of water.
Yeah, a cod piece.
Because I'm in medieval dress. If I'm sucking on the side of a hill.
Yeah.
So maybe a bit of cod piece water. And but it'll have to be some crusty French stuff, the bread. Yeah. It's not going to be anything not nice.
Yeah.
So it can't be plain bread, like bread you would have on a plane, right? Because quite often that's pretty bad bread.
Mm.
We'd have to...
Well, it depends on the...
What's the best bread you've had on the plane?
Sometimes they bring round a basket and there's multiple types. And you can have, you know, seedy kind of ones or carpaccio, whatever it's called, or like just white French type stuff.
Yeah.
And I'd probably go for the white.
This is we're talking business upwards though, right? Yeah.
Which I don't travel always in business.
Yeah.
And I have done recently, but that was I was bumped up.
Oh, nice.
For no reason. It's always nice.
What a feeling.
But were you looking around? Because like, I'd imagine a lot of the people in business class, they're not your type of people. I imagine you'd look around and see right through all these.
Pretentious
motherfuckers.
They're all mongering of some sorts. There's something they're mongering to have got there.
Do you mean like fishmongers?
Mongerers.
Yeah.
Fishmongers, warmongers, fearmongers, moneymongers.
Yeah.
So whenever I'm getting on the plane and I'm going to economy, I look at the people going to business and like every single one of those people is a fishmonger.
Yeah. I imagine fishmongers are pretty gutted that they're lumped in with all the other mongers because like, all the other mongers are pretty bad. They're warmongering and fearmongering, and then they're like, we just like fish. Why are we
eating
with them?
There's not meatmongers. They're butchers.
They're just butchers.
It's ironmongers, I guess.
Ironmongers.
Going back to Dickensian times.
But I suppose I look like, I probably like to think I don't, but I think people go, musician.
Yeah.
You know, in a split second.
Immediately.
Yeah, I try not to look like one.
Yeah.
But it's bloody obvious, I think, to people.
What sort of things do you do to try and not look like a musician, would you say?
I try not to air drum stuff like that on my tray that goes into the front. I try to wear a nice pair of shoes from Northampton.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe some jeans that aren't ripped and looking like they've been dragged through Roskilde Festival, which is where we were last weekend in Denmark. I don't know, but some pop stars do dress rather, is it sartorially these days, don't they? And still look like musicians, actually. It's the hair. I haven't really got a musician's haircut.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean, though. Like, you, Alex and Damon, I go, they're musicians. Dave, not so much.
Drummer.
Just look at do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't look at Dave and go, definitely a musician.
Mm.
He's a wonderful musician.
Because he's not only that. He isn't only that.
He's a host, a radio host.
Because you don't go Alex Cheese. You stop at musician. Alex and or Cheese.
Yeah.
Well, Dave has done all sorts. He's been he's been a lawmongerer. He's been a lawyer, pilot. You know, he does all sorts of what I would call kind of grown-up stuff. He's done that for years, you know, since I've known him. He's been interested. He's the only one who reads the, you know, the contracts and things like that. So he's interested in law and grown-up stuff, you know.
So he's a pilot as well?
Yeah, for a while Alex and Dave both were flying aeroplanes about.
Who do you want to be flying the plane that you're eating the bread on?
Thank you for asking the question I was also thinking of.
Well, Dave could fly.
So not Alex. You would like Dave over Alex to be flying the plane?
Yes. Yeah. If we talk, yes, definitely these days.
Yeah. Because he reads the contracts.
He reads all the contracts.
So definitely, based on my knowledge of him, which is only the things that you've said, I would choose Dave over Alex to be flying the plane.
Yeah.
Because he's a responsible adult who reads contracts.
Yeah, because he'd be like, you know, telling you, well, look at the instruments, Graham. Here we have this. Alex would just be like, this is great, isn't it? Yeah. And
Alex would get honey all over the control desk.
Perfectly safe, I imagine. But, you know, it's like, I've been up in a plane with Alex flying.
Yeah.
It's great up there because you can do what you like.
Really? There's no laws?
I would say
there's
that's
no
the
laws in that aeroplane. It's a lawless, like, you know, saloon. You can smoke whatever you want, drink whatever you like.
Yeah.
What are
when Alex is flying the plane.
Yeah. When Alex is flying, undo your seatbelt, share a seat, you know, do whatever.
Did you do any of those things?
All sorts of stuff. I can't even go into it. All sorts of things.
Let's get into your menu proper now. Your all dream right. starter.
I think it's a bit of a prawn cocktail. I love a prawn. You've got to love a prawn.
A prawn cocktail?
Yeah.
Has this always been a favourite of yours?
I think it has. And I started to think, well, why can't I just start making these at home? Mm. Yeah. Why do I have to go to Trattoria Luca on Parkway to get me prawn cocktail or me prawns on avocado? Uh-huh. And I started doing it at home. And a bit of Thousand Island dressing on some prawns, on a bit of avocado or some lettuce and a bit of lemon, and you're off, aren't you?
Nice.
Yeah. And would you rate your own? Do you do a good one? You do a good one?
It just tastes the same as the other ones.
Yeah.
I haven't got a remarkably advanced palate or anything, but it, you know, it did the job.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to sit there and photograph it and you know, wiggle my tongue about and tell you where I'm tasting things. I'm not that sort of eater.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I did when in America a few times was to go hell for leather on an electrically assisted bike from Santa Monica through Venice and all the way and all the way and all the way along and go like 20 kilometres up there.
Yeah.
Then there's this old seafood shack, and the Americans do they call it a shrimp cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
I call it shrimp, it's a very small prawn, but I don't, they call everything shrimp. They don't use the word prawn over there.
Yeah, because I imagine like it being tiny. The tiny little guys are the shrimp, right?
Yeah, a little shrimpy thing.
Yeah, the little shrimpy things. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Whereas a prawn is one of them big, succulent, fat, bloated beasts that Americans just call a shrimp. Of course.
Are you using those at home? Are you going to shout out again to the fishmonger? Are you going to get the big boys from the fishmonger when you do it at home?
I haven't done it at home for a long time because I might push for it, because as you know, my partner Rose, she does a lot of the cooking. But we have got prawns from the old. They're expensive, aren't they? The big ones,
pretty pricey. But because the kitchen's tiger prawns, of course,
they're expensive.
Because the kitchen's not your domain, do you have to really quickly sneak in there when your partner's cooking and try and make a prawn cocktail? She's like, get out of here, stop making prawn cocktails.
No, it's not like that. The kitchen is my domain, but it's just that I'm always tidying it up, and that takes a longer time, so I'm in the kitchen a lot,
but mainly tidying,
making cups of tea and things like that.
Do you put music on when you're tidying?
I don't listen to music.
Never?
No. It gets in the way.
Yeah.
No, we should listen to more music. You know, I do like what, you know, Spotify and things just throws up every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
They say, oh, you might like this.
Are they right?
I like doing that. They're quite often right.
It doesn't creep you out that they were right?
No, not really. I'm only one thumb movement from destroying my iPhone, aren't we all? You know, it's like we can just eliminate everything and delete stuff. But we never do, I suppose.
No.
But where were we with the real subject?
We were just talking prawn cocktail.
Actually, there's
prawn
a few
cocktail.
Things.
Yeah, I love a prawn. Because in America, they do that. Sorry.
Yeah, I want to know about this American place that you went to.
Well, you go to it, and it's like this old shack. It must be quite famous around there. You've gone past where the airport is and where Jackie Brown was filmed and all that. Mm-hmm. You go past there, you go up further, and there it is. And you can choose your things. You can they're all live there, and you can choose lobsters and all the rest of it. And we used to go and have a lobster and have a shrimp cocktail, but it was the sauce really that is different over there. It's a sort of shrimp cocktail sauce, but then you put a blob of horseradish in there, and that was really, really good.
So would you like that prawn cocktail for your dream meal, the shrimp cocktail from the shack?
Yeah, possibly that would be a good thing, but still with a bit of greenery, you know.
Yeah.
On a bed of lettuce.
Yeah, you got to have a bed of lettuce.
Lemon. Refreshing. Something. I love this, the horseradish thing. I only had it recently when I went to the States, the shrimp cocktail, because you expect that creamy dressing, right?
Yeah.
And then it's almost tomato-y with loads of horseradish in it. Proper fiery, gets
it's
up
great.
Your nose. Yeah.
It's an entonnerie of flavour.
That's exactly what I said, weirdly. I said it's an entonnerie of flavour.
Yeah. Before we move on, what's your favourite part of cleaning the kitchen? Do you have a part, when you're doing the cleanup of the kitchen, is there a particular thing that is really satisfying that you like to tidy up and get right?
Well, the thing is, my dealing with kitchen and things like that is I don't know I'm going to do it. You know, it again comes from an anxiety where I feel a little bit anxious. Maybe I've been having an awkward conversation and before I know it, I'm sweeping the kitchen floor or I'm in the middle of the washing up or I'm scrubbing the sink. You know, I'm hosing down those things that keep the big bits from going down the sink that you can remove. Yeah. You know, I'm hosing that out a little bit. Yeah. Or I'm sweeping the patio down, removing bird shit and all the rest of it. You know, I'm doing all of this stuff because I found myself in an awkward situation. Yeah. or my anxiety has risen somewhat. And I'm sure old girlfriends of mine have absolutely, when the place of the state started to have a little an argument with me, just point me in the right direction. And then, it's all spick and span 10 minutes later. And I'm really fast.
Yeah.
I don't waste time, you know, emptying dishwashers, refilling dishwashers, yeah, wiping all the things down, re-oiling the surface of the wooden surfaces, you know, everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a bit too much. It's a bit like, it's slightly too obsessive. I'm a little bit too obsessive. But if you go from Santa Monica through Venice and then El Segundo, I think, lost my wallet in El Segundo.
Yeah, that's
one. Da-da-da-da. And then the area where the airport is further down, La Ronda, you see it's gone. Redondo Beach.
Oh,
it might be Patty Redondo. Smith. It's a bit further than Redondo. And they have one of those cheesecake factories nearby that you have to avoid.
Why do you have to avoid them?
Because it's just full of cakes. It's like a huge place. And it's not just cheesecake.
No, it's not. It's not. I went to a cheesecake factory in San Francisco, really wanting to try the cheesecake. But I made the mistake of ordering the meatloaf first to earn my dessert. And the meatloaf was humongous. And I didn't really enjoy the cheesecake after that because I was too full.
But the meatloaf was all right.
I can't even remember it.
It's good stuff, I think.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's pretty good. I've had a lot of people say to me that I can't remember who it was recently, but there's an American person who said the biggest mistake people make at Cheesecake Factory is getting the cheesecake because it's the worst thing on the menu.
Did you think you have to avoid it because it's just full of cakes?
Cakes.
Is it that you're not a fan of cake or you're too much of a fan of cake or just the idea of it being full of cakes you find nerve-wracking?
No, the idea of it being full of cakes is amazing to me. It's like a sort of a heaven. No, I like sweet things. And I can destroy.
You could rip your way through cheesecake factory.
I could destroy, you know, any amount of sweet things, chocolate especially.
I like the idea of you like just whipping through Cheesecake Factory like Taz, just spinning around.
Like Taz. I could do. I mean, I'd be sick, but you know, the intent's there.
I guess in the kitchen you have like the opposite of Taz because you're spinning around the kitchen, but then it's all tidy at the end.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Your dream main course, great. Now, why then, when you had a puff on your vape, did you cover it with your hand so I couldn't see it? You did
it. It wasn't
little...
so you couldn't see it. I know that you think it's all about you. I hate it when people say that. I remember the first time I got that, I was crushed.
Where
it's not
you?
All about you, Graham. What? Isn't it? No, there's a camera up there, I'm noticing.
Oh, you shielded it from the camera. Who said that to you? Who said it's...
Oh, I can't remember.
It's pretty funny that you can't remember who said it. You're too busy remembering what
teacher.
You were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, might have been a teacher.
Dickhead teacher.
Like they're the sort of people that leave the most harm. So knocking about in one's head, aren't they?
Yeah. Especially when they're
I once had sex. A teacher when I was living, when I'd moved to Colchester, I'd written an account of my weekend in which I'd gone up to Spondon to see my granddad again and all of that. And I'd written that he lived in Malt Ave, you know, I'd shortened it. And she singled my little account out as being the most absurd piece of work. I'm about 7 years old.
Yeah.
But everything hits you when you're seven.
Yeah.
Everything happened all the worst stuff happened to me when I was 7. Dog bites, broken teeth, a beginning to fainting episodes that I used to have.
Yeah.
And this was my first one, I think. I didn't quite realise what was going on. And she changed Spondon to London.
Right.
And she read it out in the most piss-taking way. I was absolutely didn't know why I'd been singled out to be made to look such a fool. Yeah. And
she thought you'd spelled London wrong.
Yeah.
So she's stupid.
She's a stupid idiot.
Yeah,
she was showing her own ignorance in front of everybody because she hadn't heard of Spondon, which is very famous. You know, everybody.
Yes, everyone knows Spondon.
But to try and spell London with an SP at the beginning.
How stupid did you think you were?
I just thought, you.
She read it out in a piss-taking way, including Av. Did she?
You know, Malt Av. Made an example of me.
How old was she, do you reckon?
Don't know. She looked like Hamble. Do you remember Hamble, one of the dolls that was from play school years ago?
No.
Look her up. She looked a bit like that, but sort of a 35-year-old woman. Let's call her that sort of age.
Dead now, you reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She probably died before I was in secondary school.
Yeah, you reckon?
Let's hope.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be my fault.
No, it's not your fault.
She's going through life being that sort of bitter and hideous and cynical towards children.
Yeah.
And then she deserves everything she
It's probably what got her in the end.
Yeah, she deserves that.
She might be hanging on.
No, she's in the ground.
In the ground.
She's in the ground. I mean, you won't be sucking on that part of the ground, will you?
No. Awful.
Trying to have a nice glass of water and you realise it's your teacher's grave.
Your dead teacher's in there.
Sucking up remnants.
Yeah. You wouldn't want any of that. I hope she's buried in Spondon. That'd be funny.
This would have been in Essex. This would have been in Colchester.
I hope somehow she's ended up. I hope that...
She's ended up in the Ashbourne Hills.
She was supposed to be buried in London. And someone got mixed up and accidentally buried her in Spondon.
Excellent.
Yeah.
By mistake.
Yeah. That would be excellent.
No, she's there on an Av as well.
Yeah.
I hope she's on an Av.
She's been there adding to the Pong.
Yeah.
There is a thing called the Spondon Pong.
Is there?
Yes, because of the Celanese factory there. So it's used to make this particularly strange rubbery kind of smell in the air.
Right,
and so you'd always know when you were in Spondon because you... Have you looked that up?
You'd get this sort of pong.
You'd get the Spondon Pong.
Yeah.
That'd be a good name for a band or a song or an album.
The Spondon Pong.
Kept me where I'm from, next to Burton Latimer, which is where the Weetabix factory is. So often there's areas of Kettering that really smell like Weetabix.
The Kettering stench.
Yeah, that
the
must
Kettering
be
stench,
nice.
As it's known. Although there was a really bad, and I've mentioned it on the podcast before, but there was a really bad weekend when I was in my late teens, early 20s. I can't remember when. And Kettering just smelled like hot sick.
Really?
Yeah. Just smelled like hot sick.
Hot?
Yeah, it smelled like hot. It very specifically smelled like hot sick.
What happened
down near
that
the
weekend?
Train station? I don't know. Everyone was like, don't go down near the train station. It smells like hot sick.
God.
It was bad stuff. We would kill for the Spondon Pong at that point. Your dream main course is what I've realised we haven't.
Sorry?
We said dream main course, then we went off on this tangent. But what is your dream main course?
I'm going to say Nasi Goreng.
Mm.
This is a difficult one because there's so many things I liked. Mm-hmm. And I was just going to say the one thing that eventually ended up as my side dish. Because that's kind of pretty... I'm happy with that most points during the day or year or whenever... But nasi goreng is something that I had, that I knew my dad loved from when he was a young man in Malaya. I think it was Malaya. And he loved nasi goreng, which is basically fried rice, I think it means. And he said that this very, very, very old, wizened, short woman used to make this for him pretty much every night when he was he may have been a teenager at the time in the army out there.
Right.
But used to like whip this together and he used to just absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And that's really gone on to me. I remember having it in Jakarta in 2012 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just great stuff. I think it's sort of a fried rice that you can just put whatever you like in. But mainly when I've had it, it's got a little bit, and I've tried to make it as well. It doesn't taste quite as good as when I've had it. But the best one I ever had was in Jakarta. It had sort of like, you know, the chicken on sticks thing.
Yeah.
Like satay.
So you get rice and you may have a couple of satays and a big dollop of peanut sauce, and you'd have a fried egg on the top of the whole lot.
Oh, nice.
Ooh. And it's excellent stuff. And I'm really into sort of ricey food. I like a good old fried rice. It used to be a huge treat when I was a kid to go to the Chinese restaurant and have fried rice and things like that. I thought it was the best stuff ever.
What was your go-to type of fried rice at the Chinese restaurant when you were a kid?
Well, for ages it was chop suey, which is no rice at all. No. But when I discovered the fried rice, I don't know, just chicken fried rice. Yeah. I was quite happy with that. Because then, you know, it was the 70s and the 80s, and I would have had, you know, real proper like English spaghetti bolognese. And I wouldn't have had Chinese food. I wouldn't have had any other shape of pasta apart from spaghetti. And it would hardly be a sort of anything approaching an Italian sauce. It would be more like a sort of a stew, English stew on mm-hmm. top of spaghetti, you know, carrots and everything. And it became a little bit of a joke that there's these big chunks of carrot, like this is a stew, this is an English stew, but with on spaghetti. So I remember my mum tried to make Chinese food on a Monday with what was left over from Sunday, you know, sticky pork and things like this. And we were like, oh, this, I love this. I love this sort of thing. You see, I liked exotic stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just love that stuff. I love it.
When you eat the nasi goreng, do you think about your dad every time? Is it impossible for you to eat it without thinking about, my dad used to eat this? Like, you think about the wizened old woman every time?
Yeah, I do a bit. Whenever I see it on a menu, which isn't often, I've had nasi goreng with him. But it's the thing is, it's all in a very nostalgic time for him. So it's never, ever going to approach what this sort of 200-year-old woman have, you know, made for him. It's never going to be quite the same.
But the good thing is, because this is the dream restaurant, we can help out with that, right?
Yeah, if
so,
you like.
Excellent.
Would you like the two?
She comes.
Would you like the 200-year-old woman to cook you this in the dream restaurant?
I would.
Yes.
And I'd like her to be extremely rude as well.
Yeah.
Do you like it when people are rude to you?
Chuck it at you. Yeah.
In restaurants.
I like rudeness and anger and insult. Yeah. I think
she's
funny.
Not pointing with her little finger, I'll put it that way.
No. But she's, I bet she was great.
Yeah.
Bet she's made that a billion times.
Yeah.
And
easy.
And I imagine it in a mess tin, although it probably wasn't in a mess tin. You know, I get this information out of my dad every now and then, what it was like when he was out there and what were the shorts like? Were they really massive, high waisters, you know? And
asking all the right questions.
What were the shorts like? What was the nasi goreng like?
Yeah. Thanks, what were the shorts? And you wore them ammo, you were wearing ammo boots. And and where would you go? I'd go a few tents up and this woman would just chuck nasi goreng at you. Excellent.
Is it spicy, the nasi goreng?
It can, yeah. It can be.
Do you like a bit of spice?
Mm, absolutely.
You liked the horseradish in there?
Yeah.
I loved the horseradish when I was a kid, and I try to force that on my own children.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How are they?
Go on, have it just a little bit.
Do they?
And they don't like spicy. But they always like it.
Right, so yeah, once they give it a go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just have a little tiny bit.
You're just building up their tolerance.
Yeah.
Bit by bit.
You don't have to have this thing on its own. You put it with stuff. You know, to enhance. People get so freaked out about spicy stuff. I mean, I don't go too spicy these days. You know, I'm not like, let's have a vindaloo, I'm not like that. I just don't see the point.
But I
like a little bit, just enough is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I'm not like spice mania, like it's a machismo. I'm not like that kind of masculine.
Did you like the Spice Girls?
Not really.
You went into them? I guess it was it was that time where, like, you know, you just had, I mean, you were probably all punched out from Blur versus Oasis, and then Spice Girls came around, you're like, oh, I can't. But you're just knackered, you're like, I can't put up with this. I can't engage with this. I can't engage with this shit.
Well, it's a complicated thing, that.
Yeah.
They were fine. I really liked Sporty.
Yeah.
I liked her song with Bryan Adams.
Yeah, good song. Yeah.
Even Food Don't Taste That Good and all that. I thought that was a great little song.
We should get them both on the podcast.
Yeah, we should.
Sporty and Bry at the same time.
Yeah.
And ask them, does food taste that good anymore?
It was a fun ride. It was a sort of a fun sort of girl powery thing when this sort of thing had been there in underground punk rock music for a bit during the early to mid 90s, so I thought it was a bit cheapened and a bit shallow and all the rest of it, but I was probably a bit snobby about it. It was probably okay. It was just a little bit, it was kind of a bit glitzy and pink and unicorny for me.
Yeah.
When I thought there was some some other, you know, more heavier, worthy stuff being said and being put forward by groups and women at the time. So, you know, the Spice Girls was a complicated thing at the time, because mm-hmm. the '90s it was very different in the '90s, and I don't know whether it's got much better. It must have. God knows. I hope so.
I mean, look, I hate to ask you about Blur versus Oasis because I just mentioned it, but here's the only. I might not ever get to interview anyone from either band ever again. So, would you say it's fair to say that you absolutely pulverized them?
What, Oasis? No.
Come on.
What, come back on. Then? We it's, obviously
it's
didn't.
It's not a competition, Graham. You absolutely destroyed
Where them. Are they now?
You absolutely made a fine paste of them.
They don't
but
even talk
at the
anymore.
Time, I thought it was record sales as far as the 90s. Right. People go on about, yeah, they won this battle, they didn't win the war. The war is still on.
Oh, yeah.
It is, isn't it?
War's not
it
over.
It seems to be.
Yeah, but I would say if the war is still on, Blur is still like on the main battlefield and Oasis are in the first aid tent.
Yeah, yeah.
Two separate first aid tents.
Two separate first aid tents.
Bono chaps, where is everybody? We've come here for a good fight.
Yeah.
And there's no one here.
Yeah.
No, but the thing is, though, if Oasis were to get together,
yeah,
then they would lay waste to us.
Do you think?
Probably. But that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I think they should.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it would be a laugh.
If they
you
got
know,
back
things, that's a long time ago now, all that stuff. And we were fighting for our careers. We were, you know, it was a matter of life and death for young people to be getting a career together. Of course, there was going to be competitiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was a few things that were said that were there was no need for that. But, you know, what are you going to do? The people were trying to get themselves out of their situation.
Mm-hmm.
And rock and roll was one way of doing it. So you're going to be serious about it. You're going to be, defend it.
I chose Blur in the battle. I went and bought Country House.
Did you?
It's a very vivid memory. Kept in HMV.
Did you?
Bought it. And the lady behind the counter said to me, good choice. And then she started singing it while she got it from the... Because you had to go... I'd give her the empty slip case. And she had to go and find the cassette in the little like library behind
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And she was just singing the song as she was going to get it. I really remember it really vividly. Because I felt like... It was like the same way I felt when I went to vote for the first time.
I felt
this is important. I'm making a decision. And I'm going and I've decided I'm going to get Country House.
It was like voting.
And she told me, well done. You made the right choice. And then she sang it as she handed it to me. I was like, thank you.
And was this in Kettering?
So this is Kettering HMV.
Right. Well, that's good. I'm glad we got, you know, won that, I suppose.
Mm, yeah.
But I didn't think either song was... They were both a bit daft.
They were daft. But that's what you want, I guess, for a battle between the songs. You want some fun songs.
Yeah.
But then the Universal was like... That was the next single.
Yeah.
And that was a big part of my life.
That was a big
part. So I did the Kettering Gang Show. Do you know what that is?
A gang show? Were you in the Cub Scouts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would Graham know what the Kettering Gang Show is?
Well, he knew more than...
But specifically the Kettering Gang Show.
Well, can you guess what the Kettering Gang Show would be?
Yeah, I know what a gang show is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you think it's...
So it's just one that's in Kettering.
Yeah.
As opposed to mine, which was...
Fair enough.
A Stanway Gang Show.
Yeah, yeah.
The Stanway Gang Show.
You're familiar with the Stanway Gang Show, which was... There was a Stanway Gang Show versus Kettering Gang Show, actually. We won the battle, but they won the war.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
was big. With the Kettering Gang Show, and it was like my first time performing on stage, and it really meant a lot to me. I really, really wanted to do it. And my parents knew that I'd wanted to do it forever. I was probably 10 years old or whatever. And they knew that I really wanted to be on stage and perform. It's my first chance actually getting to do it. And when I got home from the first performance of it, on my pillow was they bought me the Universal by Blur on cassette.
Wow.
And a little note that said, like, well done and all this. And it was very important to me. So
that's nice.
Every time I hear that song, I think about that.
What think about a nice story.
First time being on stage. Weren't expecting that, were you?
No, normally your stories end with you being embarrassed in some way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. At some point, I probably embarrassed myself.
Yeah.
I saw the tape and then I pissed my pants.
What did you do at the gang show?
I was...
Pissed your pants. Were you told to wear swimming trunks when you performed in your gang show, just in case you got stage fright? I was.
What?
In the Cubs, I was slightly younger than 10, maybe 8 or 9, but they said, wear swimming trunks, just in case you get stage fright and we. lose control of yourself.
Do you still do that to this day? Yeah. Wembley Arena?
Yeah.
Got your trunks on?
Got the trunks on. You might see the drawstring peeping out at some point.
That just seems like a way to guarantee a kid's going to piss themselves.
It's a bit like, what? Yeah. You see, that's frightening. What?
I didn't know that could happen.
No.
Get your trunks on, Graham.
Your dream side dish.
Yeah, chip butty.
Chip butty.
Nice.
So this is the thing that is kind of your... Is this like top of your menu, really? The thing that you can have all the time that you love?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is it, really, for me. This is luxury.
Yeah.
Proper big, thick chips in there, right? So like chip shop chips.
Fish and chip shop chips.
Yeah.
Yeah. A not a doorstep bread-wise, you know. And if you are in a local fish and chip shop and you're having a sit-down, a posh meal in your fish and chip shop, you've got to ask them not to cut it diagonally. You know, that I always thought that was mega posh when bread was cut into triangles instead of just into two oblongs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that doesn't work at all with the chip butty. It's just like...
You kind of weirdly get less chips in there, even though it's the same size sandwich.
Well, that's a question for Brian Cox or somebody, you know.
Well, we've had him on already. We forgot to ask him that.
He gets tetchy when you ask him questions, let me tell you.
About how many chip sandwiches it affect?
He's got some issues, that
man. He didn't like her.
He's got some anger issues.
Maybe you just get a slice of like that and you get your chips and you just... And everything in there, butter, brown sauce, Houses of Parliament sauce, ketchup, vinegar, salt, loads of salt. Just get it all in.
Yeah.
And just eat. Yeah, just eat it. It's
that
the
does
best.
Sound good.
It sounds great, doesn't it? I mean,
it's not a chip butty, it's the best.
Was there a particular fish and chip shop that you go to and get this from that was like the best chip butty, that is your favourite?
Well, Cannons from Crouch Hill. That's gone now, Crouch End. That's gone, sadly. There's Toffs in Muswell Hill. Uh-huh. But I used my best friend when I was six in Spondon. His mum and dad ran...
Sorry, do you mean London?
Yes. No, Spondon.
Spondon, okay, sorry. You said London wrong.
They ran the chippy in Spondon, my friend Cassie. So I'd go there quite often after school. And we used to drink this fizzy drink that used to have a Tom and Jerry cartoon on it. And I can't for the life of me remember. And we used to eat Tudor crisps. I don't know what... They're both gone, I think, these things.
Yeah, Tom and Jerry drink.
Yeah, what flavour was the Tom and Jerry drink?
I don't know, pink.
Pink flavour.
You know.
Yeah.
Sort of pink, bubblegummy, strawberry-ish.
Yeah.
Chemically kind of stuff.
Did you drink it because you liked Tom and Jerry?
Counteract the pong. Yeah, no, it was just on there.
Yeah, yeah, it just happened to be on there.
It was sort of encouraging you to read. You read the tin.
Oh, so the little comic strip?
Yeah.
Do you think that was the... thought behind it? The Department for Education were like, put Tom and Jerry on the pink drink and then that'll encourage kids' literacy.
I don't know, maybe. Put on the spot now.
Do you think, like, Tom and Jerry...
We ask the hard questions, Graham, what can I say?
Tom and Jerry are so, like, just permanently in the zeitgeist that... Mm.
So proud of yourself using the word zeitgeist there. You looked up and
I was
smiled.
Like,
yeah. You got your trunks on.
Yeah, yeah. Put your trunks on. I'm about to say zeitgeist. But you put them on anything and most people wouldn't question it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Tom and Jerry are there.
Yeah.
Even though it's mad that they put Tom and Jerry on a drink.
It's the violence that I liked.
You liked how violent they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just hitting each other with floorboards and, you know.
Yeah.
Slamming hands in pianos. Didn't matter.
Yeah. It did it.
It's great.
It really didn't matter.
Because really, if it was a more realistic, you know, dead after one episode. Right?
Well, the mouse is dead straight away, right?
The mouse is dead straight away. Good luck if it ever gets the cat back. Well, it probably won't.
And then there was the... I know we're getting off-piste a bit here, but there was the bulldog. What was that one called? Was it a bulldog?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was sometimes get involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what it was called, but it was a nasty piece of work, weren't it? What dog would you rather fight, the Tom and Jerry dog or Bullseye?
Well, the Tom and Jerry dog would be the worst one.
Yeah.
Because they sort of reconstitute themselves, cartoon characters. They wouldn't be hit by anvils or split by...
Yeah, he'd be fine,
by
wouldn't
axes
he?
And stuff. Yeah. And then they sort of somehow make themselves whole again.
Yeah.
So that would be good. I actually quite like those. Are they English Bull Terriers? That's what that
make of
type
dog
is. What is it? That make...
Your dream drink. Now, obviously, everyone's expecting to pick a cup of tea. Everyone I've told that we're doing this episode, everyone's like, ask him what the cup of tea was like in star shape that he had in the back of the car.
Oh, that was a cup of tea. Yeah, with lots of sugar.
Everyone wants to know what that tea tasted like.
Absolutely.
Everyone I speak to about doing this interview, ask what the star-shaped cup of tea was like in the back of the car. They all want to know
that
about
was absolutely
it.
When you say
real,
everyone,
that.
Do you mean Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe and Nish Kumar both told me.
I'm not saying then.
Both told me
not
independently.
If Josh wants to know. Yeah. I'm keeping stum.
Yeah,
because that's just weird.
Josh asked me about it. He said, ask me about that. Then sent me the video to clarify. It's this clip.
It was true, you know, though. I hadn't had a bath. I was like, God, we've got to get to this festival site. We're playing at like 11 a.m. It's absolutely ridiculous. So I've dragged myself out of bed, you know, put my old boating blazer on, and I'm all ready to go. And then Alex swans in like 20 minutes later after having a bath and everything like that. And then suddenly we're in a hurry again. So I'm taking my cup of tea with me. And it is. It's just bouncing around all over the place. Every time I go for it, it bounces up. But that would have had a lot of sugar in.
Right.
How many sugars were you having?
Because I would have had a hangover and, I don't know, every available sugar. I don't know, 4 or 5 sachets.
4 or 5 of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll never beat
Brown
Bob Mortimer.
Sugar, maybe.
How many did Bob Mortimer have?
Something like
17.
17, because 18's too sweet, he said.
Yeah. But I had to stop drinking tea because I stopped drinking tea for a good while and went on to just black coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought this is insane, because I had a tea mug that was it was like a pint sized, and there's no point in having a cup of tea. That means you've got to up the sugar amount, obviously, as a ratio too. So I was almost having a pound of sugar, you know, every 3 or 4 days in my tea. And I just had to say, no, this is it's getting up too much.
But then you switched to black coffee, but then were you not just having it in the same mug? You had a different mug and that solved everything.
Well, yeah, black coffee with no sugar, nothing.
Just so, in a different... Oh,
so that didn't throw up this problem of ratio... Yeah. Tea to sugar ratio. And that was in America, where you can't get a decent cup of tea anyway. So I was just like, I'll blow it. And that just that black coffee and just the anxiety and the pure outrage of everyday living in America, I sort of...
Doing a lot of cleaning.
Turned into a rake. Yeah. Yeah, and the cycling to get the old shrimps. Not even that could put weight on me.
So that's not your dream drink? You're not going with a cup of tea?
No, my dream drink would probably be a 1962 Amarone. But the thing is, I don't drink, so it's difficult to know. I would love a nice glass of red wine. I'm not saying now, but in a dream scenario, that for me is an extremely nice thing to have with one's meal. But now it's like, crikey, I don't know. I have a 0% beer.
Yeah.
As a sort of let's call it a sort of a you know, like a sort of cocktail hour at 6.
Uh-huh. So is that what you'd have for this dream meal? A 0% beer, or you would have the
0%? I'd have an Erdinger,
yeah,
or something like that that has zero, which is actually a sports drink. If you read it, it's reduced calorie, and it's isotonic.
Mm.
Uh-huh. So it's actually a sports drink, the Erdinger 0%, and it's one of the best tasting ones.
Would you do some sport after drinking it, an Erdinger?
Easily. Yeah, easily.
There's a lot of, like, no alcohol beers now. There's so many
there's
good
tons.
Ones. Yeah, but I like that this is the sports angle as well. So you could almost cycle to get the prawns and then neck a quick Erdinger.
What I like about it is that you could be cycling along just drinking from that.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks, what a reckless young man. But, you know, no, it's a sports drink, actually.
So I can tell you this now, but, like, on the podcast, we always have a secret ingredient that we don't tell the guest. And if they choose it on the menu, we kick them out of the restaurant. And it came very close just then. You settled on the Erdinger 0%, but for your episode, we've chosen, sometimes it's related to the guest, and we chose Beaujolais. And when you said the red wine, I was like, we're going to have to ask what type. And if it's Beaujolais, I don't, with a heavy heart, we're going to have to
kick. You really kick us out? I said Amarone.
Yeah, you said Amarone.
Exactly.
So yeah, we would have been all right.
Yeah, we would have been.
Nonsense. So you see, that's what the character would have drank. Not any decent human being.
Do you reckon you could hang out with the charmless man? Would you enjoy it?
Oh, I've done it many times. Sure, we all have.
Yeah.
Was it he knows his what from his... He's claret from his Beaujolais, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
I'm sure that they're talking about wine. Nasty business.
Really?
Things are never as they seem.
Oh, is that a filthier lyric than we think it is?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. I like to think so. Yeah. Probably isn't.
Yeah. What's
it's
coffee and TV really about?
Oh, That is really that boring, yeah.
Yeah, it is about coffee and TV.
It's not about bums and dicks or something.
Might be. No, I don't know what that's about. It was lyrics collected from my then diary, really, I think.
Yeah.
Dane was like, oh, I don't know about this. I can't be bothered. You know, if you want to sing it, you know, go and write some lyrics. And I went home and wrote those.
Yeah.
I was just going over some old sort of diaries and bits and bobs and notes, and that's how it came out. Imagine so nothing unusual.
Yeah.
No, it's about coffee. You know, it's about sort of being sober and wanting to be with somebody, I suppose, and feeling a little bit alienated and rootless and all of the rest of it, and wanting to fall in love with someone and be married and to belong with somebody. And that really is the sad romantic truth. And that, you know, when you stop drinking, your social life gets extremely boring very quickly, or becomes non-existent. And so, you know, you tend to watch the news and drink tea and that's it.
I mean, had you, when you wrote Coffee and TV, made the shift from the big mug of tea to the black coffee? Was it that point in your life?
Because otherwise, if you hadn't, it would have been called Big Mug of Tea and TV.
Big Mug of Tea. Yeah. And most of the lyrics would be like, I think there's too much sugar in this tea. I'm worried about it.
I can't finish
all this
tea.
Well, actually, no. Because what I did pretty much trade pints of lager to pints of latte. At that point. And that is what happened. I used to go to Henry J. Beans or whatever it used to be in Camden. Yeah. And I'd go in there and they'd make massive lattes. And I would sit there as if it was a pub and drink eight of those. You know, that's why I'd be jangling and stuff like that. And I've written a few songs about that situation. One of them is called Latte, which was a solo song of mine. So... That you can't go on doing that. You can't go out and drink eight pints of coffee every morning. So, you know, you, it's a funny thing to sort of change how you live and your habits, but you sort of do have to. You're sort of replacing one thing with the other isn't much fun.
So you're not going for coffee, though. You're going for the Erdinger 0% and then doing some sport.
Yeah.
So you want it while you're cycling to get the shrimp cocktail.
Yeah, yeah. That's an excellent look.
Can have it in the little bottle holder in your bike.
Yeah, one of my other dreams, general life dreams, is to be sort of 70 or 80. I mustn't tempt fate, but I kind of like the idea of a mobility scooter with optics attached and a big basket and a sort of an ice bucket.
Yeah,
and to hurl myself around some precinct, music blasting, and just sort of having a drink.
Harriet, yeah. You'd blast Harriet.
Blast a bit of Harriet. Yeah, yeah. Really excellent. I used to watch this man in Canterbury. Who used to go round in circles. He used to put it on full lock, and he had music going in the middle of the high street, I think, which was pedestrianising Canterbury. He used to go round and round and round, drinking a bottle of sherry, just sit there for ages, just going round and round and round, wearing his battery down.
But then presumably you'd watch him for ages, right?
Yeah, I sat in Cafe Nero watching him because he was just outside there. Yeah. Having a pint of coffee, thinking one day that'll be me. if I'm not careful.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. But also, it sounds like you're pretty set on it.
Yeah. Having a great time.
Yeah.
You've got to be careful of chip butties as well. I'll give you a warning about chips as well. And you know about the dinner lady's mole?
No.
You've got to be careful of dinner lady mole on chips. But you know when you get the eye of the potato on your chip?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it has some frond-like, hair-like things coming off. Well, we used to say that was the dinner lady's mole on there, because our dinner lady, when I went to five-way school in Stanway, she had like a Teddy Boy's haircut, which was dyed brown and was very, very broad Scottish, very wrinkly, and had a mole with hairs coming out. And that was the dinner lady's mole.
So that's the dinner lady's mole.
Yeah, so you've got to be careful. You've got to choose your chips carefully.
Yes.
And some kids would just discard that whole chip.
Yeah.
And if you were hungry, you had to decide, well, I'll cut that bit off or just cut the bit out.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it was almost like operating on her face, you know, and it was like, it was a really weird, hideous.
Would you never, you'd throw the chip away, would you never give it back to the dinner lady?
No, you just...
Found your mole.
Yeah, found your mole.
Oh, no way. She was fearsome.
Yeah, yeah.
Fearsome.
She'd destroy you. I wouldn't want to cut it out. And that's
show
the worst.
You the hairy side immediately.
I wouldn't cut it out. I'd just get rid of the chip.
You know what I mean by that. You know I don't mean anything rude, don't you?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. No one thought that you meant that.
No. Although, you know, I didn't think Claret and Beaujolais was rude, but apparently it is. So who knows? You could be being the most filthy guest we've ever had, yeah, and we don't even know it.
Yeah.
I know.
We arrive at your dream dessert, and we know that you've got a sweet tooth, you said earlier.
Oh, well, this is a school-related dessert because it's sort of like toffee tart, and I've never found it ever since.
Right.
I'm not sure we had the toffee tart.
I don't think we had the toffee tart.
It's weird. I suppose it must be like toffee flavour condensed milk or something like that poured into a pastry case.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Something. It was just toffee-ish, and I think it had some sort of skin on the top at some point.
Oh, I don't remember the skin.
Maybe not a skin, or maybe that was just sat around for too long. But
but
it must have just been toffee sort of flavoured condensed milk or something. Condensed milk is what comes, it's the thick stuff, isn't
it? Yeah. Same as evaporated milk.
Is evaporated milk's different, isn't it? Isn't it thinner?
He's being cheeky.
Condensed milk is the stuff that Lenny Henry used to eat in sandwiches when he had his OK character yonks ago, isn't it?
Yeah.
Condensed milk sandwiches.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, I probably should have tried, but I wouldn't let the bread get in the way. I went straight in with the teaspoon on that stuff.
It's too good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about with this toffee tart. I think my mum made, who's an excellent cook, made toffee pie.
Oh.
And I was obsessed with it. And you just reminded me of it. And I really, my mum listens to every episode. So, mum, please make it again soon.
Recipe, please.
I would love to eat that again. It was just a big...
Yeah.
Like you say, it was just like soft toffee.
Yeah, like slightly set.
On pastry, yeah.
Yeah.
It was there really good. But
I think maybe it's pie rather than tart.
I mean, it sounds delicious.
It was great.
Yeah.
If it's the same thing I'm thinking of, absolutely. I was so stoked whenever my mum would make it.
It's excellent stuff. And I haven't had it since I was probably at junior school.
Yeah.
So anybody?
Anybody want to make toffee pie?
Do you know what we're talking about here?
And you would have it with squirty cream. You did the squirty cream.
I could have it with squirty cream.
Yeah.
What would be the best thing with that? Custard might be a bit of a weird one.
Yeah.
Maybe just like pouring cream. Just
a bit of squirty. Yeah. Pouring just cream.
Squirty and pouring.
Well, I like mixing the old stuff because one of my favourite desserts was a Bakewell pudding up in Bakewell.
Yes. Mm.
And we had custard and ice cream.
Wow.
Custard and ice cream is the best.
Ed and I did the show Hunted.
Oh, yeah. Oh, excellent. I'll have to watch that.
We did that. And, you know, you go on the... We were on the run for about a week. Mm. We did a lot in that. So most of it obviously gets cut out the edit because you're on the run all the time. And there was one day where we went to about five different places. And in the edit, we just go to one place. But one of the places we went to was Bakewell. And we were in the car. Someone was giving us a lift. And I saw a sign to Bakewell. Instantly thought that it made me think I want a Bakewell pudding.
Yeah.
And I went, ooh. And all Ed heard was me in the back go, ooh. And then he instantly went, have you seen a sign to Bakewell and now you want a Bakewell pudding? And just knew it immediately. I said, yes. And
so
then
we went there and
we got a Bakewell pudding, which are infinitely better than the Bakewell tart.
And you called it a Bakewell pudding at this point?
Well, because there's Bakewell pudding.
You didn't say tart.
No, because
the tart is a falsehood.
Yeah. I don't like the Bakewell tart as much. I think they're fine. Bakewell puddings are incredible.
Yeah.
I didn't know, to be honest, I didn't know that. I wasn't aware about the tart pudding war.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
But we went in, we said, Bakewell pudding, please. And the lady said, good choice. And then she just sung Bakewell pudding all the way to the shelf.
He lives in a pudding, baby, pudding in Bakewell.
Whenever you, I was thinking, wow, they go and you sort of make a transaction and they get sang to.
Yeah,
a relevant song.
I had to bring her the case for the Bakewell pudding, the metal tray.
Yeah.
Little metal foil tray.
And then we sat on a wall and we ate the Bakewell pudding and they were filming us doing it. And we just thought, there's no way this is making the edit.
They're not putting this in, but we're really happy.
Did they not put it in?
No.
No.
It's supposed to be a high octane sort of, you know.
Not too good.
Because there's men in like jeopardy. Black Ops or something like rugby tackling you and stuff when you're running to a helicopter.
Yeah.
I quite like that show.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And I loved that Bakewell pudding. And I love that you've chosen the toffee pie.
Yes.
It's great.
That for me is very exciting because, it's something that I'd forgotten about that I absolutely loved. And I'm a big dessert boy, so.
Me too. I love a dessert. I have had two stars and two desserts and just miss out the
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. That's a good thing to do.
See, I'm happy with that too because I'm a starter boy.
Freaks so. People out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They think you're really weird and different and interesting.
I'm going to read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it.
All right.
You were like, still water, sucked from a hillside. You want to suck it from a hillside? Pop it on some bread. You want a crusty French bread and butter and salt on a plane with the tray down, flown by Dave. Starter, you want the shrimp cocktail from the seafood shack in maybe Redondo Beach. We haven't figured it out. Main, Nasi Goreng with chicken satay made by the 200-year-old woman who you're...
I think it comes with chicken satay as part of the... Of the dish-a-rooney,
yes. Yeah, it's part of the dish-a-rooney. A side dish, you would like the chip butty with HP sauce, ketchup, vinegar and salt from the chip shop that's now shut.
Yeah, or anyone will do.
Friend's parents' chip shop, was it?
Yeah, mate.
Well, oh, in Spondon.
The Spondon chip shop.
Yeah.
Drink an Erdinger, alcohol-free Erdinger, which you want on the way to the seafood shack while you're driving an electric bike. Yeah. Dessert, you would like the toffee pie from school dinners served by the dinner lady with a mole on her face.
Yeah.
How's that feel?
It feels excellent. It feels like I could just put my feet up now and watch Antiques Roadshow.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the perfect post-meal show to watch?
I think so.
What's your favourite part of Antiques Roadshow? When they get loads of money for it, when they get told it's worthless?
When they get loads.
Yeah.
I like. My least favourite is good, better, best.
Yeah. Not for you?
No, it's an ego trip, that. that's a nice bit of telly. I like gentle TV.
Going back to coffee and TV, that's what you're watching.
Gentle TV, yeah. Instead of, yeah, gentle television. I'm of that age.
Yeah.
I'm 54, I like gentle television.
Graham, thank you very much for coming to the Dream Restaurant.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Graham.
It was very nice.
Well, there we are, James. Whew. That was fun.
I loved it so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the listener could probably hear how much I was loving it.
Yes.
Great menu as well.
Really good menu. I really like Graham.
Yeah.
He had a real silly glint in his eye.
Yeah. He's cheeky.
He's a cheeky guy.
He's a cheeky little boy.
Yes. And also, as with a lot of cheeky boys, very comfortable with a little silence.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
I love that. I hope it's in the edit, but where James mentions the cadence of Graham's voice, where he will get to the end of a sentence, but it sounds like he's halfway through, yep. And then he'll really revel in the bit where we think he's going to carry on talking.
Yeah, he'll look at us like, gotcha. What are you going to do about that?
That's a lot of fun. And I can always tell it's a good menu because my stomach starts going absolutely wild. Yeah. And it was the chip butty that did it for me today.
I really want a chip butty now.
It was the chip butty with ketchup, HP sauce and vinegar.
Yeah.
Just brilliant.
Yeah.
And butter.
There's everything on it. Although, you know, now every time I eat a chip butty, I am going to be opening it up and checking that there's no moles on the chips.
Yeah.
Because that's got in my head now.
Yes.
I don't want to accidentally eat one without knowing.
And he didn't say Beaujolais, although we came perilously close.
Yeah. And, we should tell more guests what the secret ingredient is once we know that they've
certainly if they come close, yeah.
Because it's quite fun to know if they would have gone for it or not.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It was never, by the sound of things, never a risk.
Also, it didn't even mean that in the song.
No, it didn't even mean that in the song. It meant something disgusting and gross. Really.
Yes.
The Ballad of
Darren.
You didn't
like it when I said bums and dicks. You were ashamed of me because you were talking to one of your favourites. You're really ashamed of me for saying, was Coffee and TV about bums and dicks? But Graham enjoyed it.
What I liked about whenever we did say something like that, that was a bit rude and puerile, is that Graham would really enjoy it, but it would be on a delay.
Yes.
So he would hear bums and dicks, completely receive it with a straight face, and then 30 seconds later would go, bums and dicks, and really laugh about it. And he did it with Piss My Pants as well. Well, I said, and then I pissed my pants. There's just no response. I thought, oh, I've learned the tone. I told a really personal story and now I've ruined it. And then he went, piss your pants. Really loved it. The Ballad of Darren is out now.
Yes.
By Blur.
And Blur also album.
The Wave, which is Graham's other band with Rose Eleanor Dougal, his partner. They have a new album out, which is just called The Wave.
The Wave.
Self-titled.
And
you should all check that out as well.
Absolutely.
You know, not only did Blur pulverize Oasis in the battle, but also...
I don't think Graham was...
Huh?
I like that that question felt like you were interviewing him in the 90s.
Yes.
But he gave a very 2023 answer of,
yeah, yeah.
I don't think we did. And it's all a bit silly.
He's matured now.
Yes.
but they pulverize them. And not only did they pulverize them, they've also pulverized them with the side projects and solo projects, in my opinion.
Yes.
So, you know, get that album by the wave.
Yes, and get Harriet's album.
Yeah, I think they've had enough plug in this episode.
Yeah, they're going to be really weirded out by that.
Yeah, and read the All Creatures Great and Small books if you like Christian Vets as well. Also, by Partygate of Purgatory by Temps. All the music listeners who are listening. If we're going to promote bands and albums, I would like to promote that album.
Also, pre-order my book, Glutton, The Multicourse Life of a Very Greedy Boy. I mentioned music in it.
What more do you want?
Thank you very much for listening. We will see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.